We are less than 1 week away from Hanukkah. By next Thursday, ready, we'll be a few days in. So I think it is appropriate to talk a little today as preparation for the great holiday of Hanukkah. Shiyavo aleinu l'shalom u'tova, amen. Whenever we want to understand the essence of a holiday, what it represents, what the secret is, what its key is, we always look in two places. And these places shed the most light in order to glean information on the holiday that we're discussing. The two places are, number one, the Sidur, and the second place is the Sefer Torah. I'll explain. Every Hag has certain additional prayers that we say in the Sidur. Let's go straight to the story. Hanukkah, there is a special addendum that we add to the Amidah. It's the paragraph called Al Nisim, and then there's a paragraph called Bimei Matityah. If you study that paragraph correctly, you will see the central theme of what Hanukkah represents. Why? Because that paragraph was written not by historians. So you cannot go to Wikipedia and understand what Hanukkah is from a historian. You must understand it through the eyes of Chachamim, who had Ruach HaKodesh, who had divine inspiration. The words of the Sidur were written by such rabbis. So every word in the Bimei Matityah is almost like a prophecy. So whatever words they're using to describe the holiday, that's the holiday. And nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. So we're going to have to pay attention in a moment to the Bimei Matityah. The second place where we always go to study a Hag is the reading of the Sefer Torah on that holiday. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that established on every Hag you must read a certain portion of the Sefer Torah. And the portion that we read expresses the sentiment of the holiday. Well, this poses a big challenge because on Pesach it's easy. We read the story of Pesach. Sukkot, we read the story of Sukkot. Shavuot, we read the story of Shavuot. The problem is, there is no story of Hanukkah in the Torah. Because Hanukkah happened after the Torah was given. Just like there's no story of Purim in the Torah. So it becomes very curious, which reading are we going to read on Hanukkah? And we read the Sefer Torah every day of Hanukkah. I mean, starting next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8 days in a row we take out Sefer Torah, and every day there's a different reading. I don't know what they could read, because there's no mention of Hanukkah in the Torah. So they're going to have to pick something that they felt is the Torah's correlation to the Hag. So I just gave you a very big secret. Maybe one day some of you will want to prepare a speech or a class, and they're going to ask you, please prepare on this holiday. So you know, the first place you go to is the Sidur, and then you go to the Sefer Torah, and then you begin to unravel the secret of that day. Furthermore, there's something else I must say. There is a famous question that is asked on Hanukkah. Any class you're going to go to, I guarantee it, is going to mention this question. It is the question of Hanukkah. It was asked about 500 years ago by a rabbi called Rabbi Yosef Karo. He's the author of the Shulchan Aruch. He poses the question, he himself gives three answers to the question, but I have a book at home that actually gives 100 answers to the question. Today I'm going to give you the 101st answer, a new answer to this question. What's the question? He says, everybody knows Hanukkah is 8 days. It's an 8 day holiday. And everybody knows because they found Pach Shemen, and it was enough to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. Hence there was a miracle. So he asks a very simple question. They had enough oil for the first day. So there was no miracle on the first day. You're right, the miracle starts on day two, day three, day four, but day one they had enough oil. They filled up the menorah with enough oil and it lit. That's not a miracle. So he asks the strongest question, what's the miracle on the first day of Hanukkah? I'm not going to give you his answers. Ayin Sham, look over there, he discusses it. I'll give you one answer just to give you a feeling of how these answers work. There's a rabbi called Pri Hadash. The Pri Hadash says, you're right. On the first night of Hanukkah, we're not celebrating the miracle of the oil, because there was no miracle of the oil on the first night. On the first night of Hanukkah, we're celebrating the victory of the war. I mean, that was another miracle that took place. You cannot deny it. The Yevanim were beaten. They were killed. Terrible defeat for them by the small numbered army of the Hashmonaim. That's worthy of a celebration. So he says, the first night of Hanukkah, we're celebrating the victory of the war. And then the subsequent nights, we're celebrating the miracle of the oil. That's the Pri Hadash's answer. Some of you are nodding your head. You said, that's a great answer. I'm not so sure how great of an answer it is, because if the first night we're commemorating the war, then why do we light the menorah? Why are you lighting the menorah? On the first night we should do something that's military. That's another answer. Very good. That's another answer. We're celebrating on the first night that they found the oil. A good answer. Ladies, there's hundreds of answers to this question, and you can use your imagination. And you could make up your own answers, and if it's legitimate, Hazak Baruch, kudos. Today I'm going to offer a new answer, Be'ezat Hashem. But that's the main question that they ask. What was the miracle on the first night? After all, they had enough oil on that night. I want to open up the Sidur for a second. To the Al HaNisim. If you have a Sidur in your pocketbook, you can open it up also. You can look and follow with me. Otherwise, I'll read the text to you. I must have read the Al HaNisim 10,000 times in my life. We read it every year. All of a sudden, this year, something jumped at me that never bothered me before. But now it's bothering me. You see, B'mei Matitya ben Yohanan Kohen Gadol, in the times of Matitya, Hashmonai Ubanav, when the Roman Empire rose up against them to cause the Jewish people to forget the Torah, and in your mercy, you stood by them, and you protected them, and you revenged them, and you delivered them into their hands of the Tzaddikim. And then we say like this, Lecha Asita Shem Gadol VeKadosh BeOlamach. God, you made a great publication of your name in the world. Lecha asita shem gadol v'kadosh ba'olamach. Your name became very publicized in the world. Ulamecha Yisrael asita teshua gedula. And to the Jewish people you did a great salvation. Seemingly makes sense. God's name was publicized and God brought a salvation to the Jewish people. But it's backwards. It's backwards. First God brought us a salvation, and after he brought the salvation, his name became publicized throughout the world. Isn't it like that? When does God's name become publicized in Egypt? First we left Egypt with the miracles, and after we left Egypt, then God's name becomes publicized. It's always like that. After the salvation, God's name becomes publicized. And here it says, Ulcha asit Hashem gadol v'kadosh be'olamach, your name became publicized in the world. And then only after that it mentions Ulamecha Yisrael Asita Teshua Gedola. Some of you, this doesn't bother, this question. To me, these type of questions bother me. And they become the basis of Hiddushim. Because I say to myself, the ones that wrote this had prophecy. The ones that wrote this had Ruach HaKodesh. And if they chose to write it in this way, there has to be a reason. You know, if this, God forbid, was written by some poet, you know, Edgar Allan Poe or Robert Louis Stevenson, you'd say, what's the difference? He made a mistake. But the great tzaddikim that write these paragraphs, everything that they're writing is in a certain order. I didn't come to ask you 1,000 questions today. But I do have one more question to ask. And it's again from here. Well, Amecha Yisrael, and to the nation of Israel, Asita Teshuah, Gedolah, a great salvation, a Furkan, and a redemption. Kehayom Hazeh. What does that word mean, Kehayom Hazeh? Kehayom means like this day. What do you mean, like this day? It should say, Asita Teshuah, Gedolah, Bayom Hazeh, on this day. What do you mean, Kehayom Hazeh, like this day? On the day we came out of Egypt, it's Hayom Hazeh, it's not Kehayom Hazeh. But God said, I made a miracle for the Jewish people, like this day. Like which day? That's my questions. I have some more questions, but I'm not going to belabor the point. Whoever wants to hear more questions, you can come later on, and I'll tell you all my questions that I have. But this is enough to establish the hadush that I want to say. Question in halachana. Is it an obligation to have a seudah on Hanukkah? Well, I'm asking the right crowd. The ladies know when there's an obligation to have a seudah because they prepare the seudah. They prepare the seudah. So you have to know. So whereas in Purim there's an obligation to have a seudah. A person cannot come on Purim and say, I'm not going to have a seudah today. It's an obligation. But on Hanukkah, you're absolutely correct. Halakha clearly states there is no obligation to make Seudat Hanukkah. Oh, you tell, but Rabbi, what about jelly donuts? I'm not telling you you have to starve. You don't have to starve on Hanukkah. You're allowed to eat. But there's no mitzvah to eat. Which means if somebody went 8 days of Hanukkah and he didn't eat one jelly donut, he still goes to Olam Abba. And he doesn't have to have potato pancakes and all the other delicacies that they make. In the cookbook, there's no obligation. You're not obligated to call your family together, to sit down at a table and say, Rabotai, we are now having the Seudat called Seudat Hanukkah. Not an obligation. And for the obvious reason. For the obvious reason. Because on Purim, Haman was coming after our bodies. So the celebration is physical. So you eat. Whereas on Hanukkah, they weren't coming after our bodies, they were coming after our souls. So the celebration is spiritual. We light candles. Candles are spiritual. We say Hallel, that's spiritual. But there's no obligation to eat. Or to make a seudah. However, there's a rabbi called Rabbi Moshe Isserlish. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch for the Ashkenazim. And he writes in his commentary that although it's not an obligation, it's praiseworthy or it's a mitzvah to have a seudah on Hanukkah. It's praiseworthy. You get credit. Why? Because on Hanukkah, something else happened. Hanukkah tamizbeah. What is Hanukkah tamizbeah? That means, besides the oil, leave the oil story, besides the victory of the war, when the Greeks came into the temple, they contaminated the whole building. They touched everything, they brought in the contaminated objects to make the Beit HaMikdash toxic. Basically, they rendered the temple useless because you can't use it if it's tameh. They took it out of commission. And one of the things they did is they took, forgive me, they took a pig and they put it on the altar. Wow, the big wow. On the altar of God that we bring the sacrifices, so they defiled the altar. So part of the reconstruction of the Hashmonaim, when they came back into the Beit HaMikdash, they needed to re-sanctify a lot of the vessels. One of the things they re-consecrated was the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach that was Tameh, that became defiled, the Hashmonaim, whatever process you have to do to rededicate it, but they reinstated the Mizbeach. That's a call for a celebration that Amar writes. It's like rededicating a synagogue. It's rededicating a holy structure. So therefore, he says, when you sit down with your family on Hanukkah, and you make a seudah, and somebody's going to say, hey, what are we making a seudah for? Hanukkah tamizbayah. And don't think it's a small thing, because I know all of you know the one song that we sing on Hanukkah is Ma'osud. And the first stanza, Azeg mor b'shir mizmor, Hanukkah tamizbayah. Wow. So the authors of that song knew that that's a very important part of the holiday. The reestablishment of that mizbeach. I know what you're going to ask. What in the world is eating a seudah commemorate the construction of the mizbeach? Good question. Well, what is the mizbeach? The mizbeach basically is God's table. We put meat on the mizbeach, we put wine on the mizbeach, and we put the flower offering on the Mizbeah. So the Mizbeah actually is the table of God. The Gemara says today we don't have the Mizbeah. What takes the place of the Mizbeah? Our table. Vaydaber Elai Zeh Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. So the table, when we put our food on the Mizbeah, on the table we put the food, and we have guests over, we make blessings. It's tantamount to a Mizbeah. So therefore a Seudan Hanukkah at the table is very commemorative to the Mizbeah. Because that's the modern day Mizbeach, the Jewish table, with the kosher food and the Divrei Torah. So when we sit down at the table, we say, Rabotai, you see this table over here? We're celebrating the reinstatement of God's table. The Hanukkah Mizbeach, that was in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore we sat down to have a Seudah. Oh, so now we're very happy now. There's a reason, there's a call for a meal now. We've justified another meal with our families. That's great news. And all the commentaries bring this down. It's not only the Ramah, they all bring this business. Hanukkah Tamizbeah, Hanukkah Tamizbeah. So you should remember that when you're sitting at the meal of the Hanukkah and somebody says, we are commemorating the oil. No, you're not commemorating the oil. We don't make a seudah for the oil. We're commemorating the victory of war. No, we don't make a seudah. Jews don't celebrate victory of war through having a seudah. We're commemorating Hanukkah Tamizbeah. Finished. Now you know the purpose of the meal. There's a rabbi called Levush. Levush is a rabbi called Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe. He wrote many sefarim on halakha. So I'm looking at the book, because I want to see all the rabbis that bring this custom to have a seudah on Hanukkah. And he quotes exactly what the Ramah says. We have a seudah lichbod Hanukkah tamizbeah. But he adds one more word. And this one word throws me for a loop. It brings me to confusion. I thought everything would be very smooth, and then I see he adds one word. He says, Hanukkah Tamizbeah Bamidbar. Bamidbar. The consecration of the Mizbeah in the desert. The desert? What are you talking about in the desert? What do you mean Bamidbar? Take out the word Bamidbar. So I say, you know what? For sure it's a typo. So I look at all the commentary, waiting for somebody to say, please disregard the word Bamidbar because it makes no sense. I don't know what it means. Everybody knows what it means, but I don't know what it means. When I read this word Bamidbar, what are you talking about? You're talking about Hanukkah Mizbeah in the times of Hanukkah. No, Hanukkah Mizbeah in the Midbar, which is 2,000 years before Hanukkah. So from that one word, I found a very important midrash. The midrash is incredible. The midrash says that when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, God told them to build a Mishkan. Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham. God says to the people, build for me a sanctuary, or a tabernacle as you call it. And God says, if you build it right, I'm going to bring my presence down to the structure. The presence of God is called Shekhinah. Hashochen itam. So the Jewish people were very excited. You mean you can build a structure and you'll feel the presence of God in your midst? This is very, very significant. So they were so excited that they collected money. It was a very expensive project. Most of the Mishkan is gold and silver and expensive jewels and very, very exquisite fabrics. Handiwork. Very fine detailed work. They raised so much money that it says in the Pasuk they even had surplus. That's how excited they were. Money means nothing. They want to give their money to bring the Shekhinah down. What would you pay to bring the Shekhinah down to your midst? Once the Shekhinah is in your midst, you have all the blessings. So they paid and they overpaid and they were thrilled. And then they needed to get to the actual construction. They started constructing the Mishkan in the month of Tishri, right after Kippur. It should have taken 3 years to build it, because it's a very hard structure, very detailed, a lot of work. But they were so excited to get the job done, they did it in 3 months. Tishri, not even Tishri, part of Tishri, 20 days of Tishri, Heshvan, and Kislev. On the 25th day of Kislev, they had finished the project. And they were very excited because they expected that on that day, Moshe Rabbeinu would activate the Mishkan, he would plug it in, and then the Shekhinah would come down, and this would be the most thrilling and the most exhilarating and the most anticipated moment that they've been waiting for 3 months. So they all put on their tuxedos. Doesn't say that. I'm saying a story. I'm making believe a story. Somebody will come to me after. Where does it say they put on the tuxedo? They didn't put on the tuxedos. I'm giving it to you to understand it. They all got dressed in order to celebrate the Shekhinah. And they all came to the Mishkan, and there's a great feeling of excitement. And God comes to Moshe and he tells Moshe, Moshe, take the Mishkan, fold it up, and put it in storage. So Moshe Rabbeinu's loyal, he does it. So the people tell Moshe, hey, 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 what are you doing? What are you doing? We just built it, we're finished, we're waiting for this day. He said, what should I tell you? God said to fold it up and put it in the storage, put it in the warehouse. Put it in the warehouse. It says, God is going to tell us when we can open up the business over here. What do you want me to know? We want to open it up today. And it says in the Midrash, they were very upset. The Midrash quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, for those that say Shir HaShirim. The Jewish people told God, Yavo dodi legano, v'yokhan meperim megadav. Let our beloved one come down to the garden and let him eat from the delicacies. And God, we built a Mishkan, we have the Mizbeach. Yavudu dina gano, let God come visit his garden. And Borei Olam said, no, I'm not ready yet to visit. I'm not interested yet. Put it in the warehouse. Eventually, 3 months later, on the first day of the month of Nisan, God tells Moshe, okay, take it out. Today's the day. And they inaugurated it on that day. That's what they did. Eventually, it was a delay of 3 months, but they eventually inaugurated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Don't ask me why there was a delay, it's for another class. And on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, God says to the Jewish people, as it says in Shir HaShirim, Bati legani ahoti kana. I came to the garden. You told me, Yavod odi legano, Bati legani. I came. I'm here. Of course, the Jewish people were very, very excited. But they really wanted it to happen 3 months before. Fine. We're not done with the story. The Midrash writes that the month of Kislev came to God. Don't ask me, how does a month come to God? You have to use your imagination. We've discussed in this class, letters go to God. Shabbat goes, everybody knows how to go to God. There's an angel. So the month of Kislev comes to God with his lawyer. And the lawyer tells God, we have claims against you. We're filing a lawsuit. We have a claim against you. So God said, what's the claim? What are you talking about? The Mishkan was finished on the 25th of Kislev. Our month was supposed to have a great holiday of the construction of the Mishkan, of the inauguration, and you gypped us. You took it away from us. We were all geared up for a great Chag, and you give it to Nisan. But Nisan doesn't have enough holidays. Nisan is Pesach. So you took it away from us, and you gave it to Nisan. We're filing a claim. This was the claim of Kislev. God's very fair, by the way. I don't have to tell you that. Ve'emet Adonai le'olam. Hallelujah. So God tells Kislev, you're right. You're right. It's a good claim. I'll pay you back. I'm not going to pay you back today or tomorrow. It's going to be in a few thousand years. But if God says he's going to pay you back, you could take it to the bank. Then on the 25th day of Kislev, there's going to be another inauguration of a building. And this time it's going to be celebrated. And sure enough, 2,000 years later, on the 25th day of Kislev, that's the day that they went into the Beit HaMikdash, the Hashmonaim, and they rededicated it. Now, I'm sure they weren't looking at the calendar when they were doing all this. It just happened. They were fighting. No one's looking at them. Who cares what date it is? But all of a sudden, when they finally finished, and the war was over, and they went into the temple, somebody said, by the way, anybody have a calendar handy? What's today's date? 25 of Kislev. And they said, ha, 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 ha. God is emet. He told us 2,000 years ago that there's going to be a holiday earmarked on the 25th day of Kislev, and he paid them back. You understand the story so far? So that means the 25th day of Kislev, this was all orchestrated by God that it should land on that day. It's not a random day. That's my point. It's not something that's arbitrary. You shouldn't say, okay, it landed on February 8th, and that's when it landed. No. Hashem was orchestrating Jewish history that it must land on that day because he owes Kislev a holiday. Go slow. Don't go so fast. I need to go very slow over here. Now I need to tell you something else. When you went into the Beit HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, wherever you go, how did you know that Shekhinah was in the Beit HaMikdash? Where was the Shekhinah? What was the testimony, I should say? No. You never went to Kodesh Kodashim. Kodesh Kodashim, you went only once a year, only the Kohen Gadol. Most people did not have access to the Kodesh Kodashim. They didn't see it. They never saw it. Where was the Shekhinah where even a Gentile would be able to go into the gallery of the Beit HaMikdash and they would see Shekhinah? The Menorah, of course. I don't know about the clouds, but the Menorah, let me tell you why the Menorah. I'll explain it to you. The Menorah had 7 sticks. There was 3 on the right side, 3 on the left side, and the middle stick is called Nera Ma'aravi. They would fill up the cups every afternoon, and they would light the Menorah, and it would last until the morning. Of course, when they came in the morning, all 6 cups were extinguished. However, the middle center one remained lit. And it remained lit all the way till the afternoon. And this happened every day. So we got all excited about Hanukkah. Every day it happened in the Beit HaMikdash that the center stick of the menorah called Nera Ma'aravi, and that's where the Kohen would light the menorah from in the afternoon. He would light the new candles from the Nera Ma'aravi because it was still lit. That's called Ner Tamid. The Nera Ma'aravi. And the Gemara says, Edut. That's where the testimony is that the Shekhinah is in Am Yisrael. Says a rabbi called the Prima Gadim. He says, the Jewish people in the Midbar, what were they craving in the Midbar? They were craving that the Shekhinah should come down, that they should light the menorah, that the Nera Marabi should remain bright the whole entire night till the next day, as a testimony that God is in Am Yisrael. But they got delayed. So God says, that craving that you had, to prove that the Shekhinah is in Am Yisrael through the lighting of the menorah, you're going to get exactly that back 2,000 years later. And what happened on the 25th day of Kislev? We came into the Beit HaMikdash and we lit the menorah and the Neir HaMa'arabi. Exactly what they willed, they eventually got. And now once the Neir HaMa'arabi was lit, of course the world knows that God is with the Jewish people. Once you understand this, I answer all my questions. My first question was in the Sidur. I asked you, Lecha asita shem gadol v'kadosh be'olamach. You made a publication of your name in the world. Ul'amecha yisrael asita teshua. And then you made a salvation for your nation. I understand it. Lecha asita shem gadol v'kadosh be'olamach in the midbar. You sanctified your name in the Midbar 2,000 years prior when they constructed the Mishkan and the menorah lit in the Mishkan, in the Mishkan of the Midbar. Lecha'asita. As the language is, Lecha'asita Shem Gadol V'Kadosh Be'olamach. You publicized your name in the world. When? In the Midbar. When they built the Mishkan. And then 2,000 years later, Ul'amecha Yisrael. Asita Teshua in the times of Hanukkah. And when did you make the miracle? Kehayom hazeh, like that day. Understand? Like that day. What was that day? The 25th of Kislev. So like that day that it was supposed to be inaugurated, Kehayom hazeh. Incidentally, Kehayom also stands for Chafeyom. Kehayom, Chafeyom. What's Chafeyom? The 25th day. That's the 25th day of Kislev. So therefore, the Alani scene, that little nuance that I told you is giving you the whole key to holiday. It's telling you Hanukkah is really an old story. It starts in the Midbar when the Jewish people were upset that they couldn't bring down the sanctification of God on 25 Kislev, and God says, don't worry, that day is going to come back. Asita Teshua Gedola years later, Kehayom Hazeh, like that day that they were anticipating. Wait. Now I understand another question. I told you, what's the miracle on the first day? It's not a question. What's the miracle on the first day? No, the whole holiday is the first day. What are you talking about? The whole reason why the Hag happens on the 25th day of Kislev is because of what happened in the Midbar. There would be no holiday if it wasn't for that day. The most important day is 25 Kislev. The reason why God had to pay us back a holiday is because of the event that should have taken place on 25 Kislev. And now you're asking me, well, what happened on 25 Kislev? What even happened? That's the main day. That's the main day. That's the day we're trying to commemorate. If it wasn't for the 25th day of Kislev that we needed to pay back a holiday, there would be no holiday. The whole essence of the holiday is 25 Kislev. Because the Jewish people were anticipating to build the Mishkan or to consecrate it on that day. God says, don't worry, you'll have a holiday on that specific day. So you can't come and ask me a question, oh, what's so special about it? What do you mean that's so special about that day? That is the day. There's nothing special that ever happened on 26 Kislev or 27 Kislev. Yes, I know, the oil lasted. But on the 25th, that's the actual orchestration of history to get to that specific day. Kehayom hazeh. But there's one question I didn't answer yet. What's the reading of the Torah on Hanukkah? Like I told you earlier, there's no parashat Hanukkah. But you know what we read? Exactly. We read from parashat Naso. When they constructed the Mishkan, on the first 12 days of the construction, or the inauguration, I'd say, they made a party. Now you make Shiva Berachot. This wasn't Shiva Berachot. This was a 12-day party. Every day another tribe brought sacrifices to commemorate the construction and the building of the Mishkan. Bayom Arishon, Bayom Hasheni, Bayom Hashenishi. So we read those presidential sacrifices that were brought by the heads of the tribes when they constructed Mishkan. Now, without this class, you would say to yourself, what in the world does that got to do with Hanukkah? You'd say, they got the wrong reading. It's the wrong reading. But now that you came to this class, and you know that the whole root of Hanukkah, actually, like the Levu said, Hanukkah ta mizbeach bamidbar. And therefore we read the part of the Torah that talks about Hanukkah ta mizbeach of the midbar. So the reading is, you're right, say it like this. The reading is not talking about Hanukkah that we're celebrating. It's talking about the origins of Hanukkah. It's talking about where Hanukkah is rooted. It's rooted in that Mishkan that was supposed to be built on 25 Kislev. So we read the episode of what happened when they inaugurated the Mishkan. To me, this is of great significance. Because that tells me that on the 25th day of Kislev, the Arizal writes, our holidays, every time they come around, all the energies that were around in the first year of the holiday, those energies come back. Let me explain what I just said. Our holidays are not commemorative. We're not just remembering, oh yeah, 2,000 years ago there was a miracle. No. Every time Hanukkah rolls around, whatever took place in the first year, we relive history. Exactly. We go through again that history. Something happens and God acts in the same way that He acted Bayamim Ahem, Bazeman Azeh. That means on the 25th of Kislev, God came down in the temple in the times of the Hashmonaim and He showed His love for us. And He showed that the Ner HaMa'arabi will remain lit. On that night He even did something better. Not only did the Ner HaMa'arabi remain lit, the whole menorah remained lit that we never saw. He did something out of the ordinary. Normally we were used to Ner Ma'arabi, the center candle would always remain lit, but all of a sudden the first night of Hanukkah, the whole menorah became Ner Ma'arabi. When we woke up the next morning, we said, oh, look at this, take the cameras, get the phones, take a picture. This we never saw. They expected the next morning to see what they used to see. The six go out, the one is in the middle, they light it again, and the normal procedure. And all of a sudden they come back the next morning, boom, 7 for 7. On that night, God showed not that He loves us, but He loves us in such an elevated way. But here's the hadush that I came to tell you now. So 25 of Kislev came and complained and said, it's not fair. You took us away in inauguration. So what did God do? He gave him an inauguration. But you know what happens? When God pays somebody back, He pays back with interest. Not a cheapskate, chas v'shalom. If somebody borrows $1.27, so some people, here's $1, here's $0.25, and here's 2 pennies. And that's probably the way you're supposed to do it, because you really cannot charge interest. But then you have a sport. No, here's $2, keep the change, it's a gift. No, I'll give you the change, do me a favor. No, you don't know what to mean, it's a gift. Matana. That's Ayin Tov, Ayin Yafa. When God tells Kislev, I'm going to give you back a holiday. Really, He took away one day, so He should have given back one day. But guess what? Every year on the 25th of Kislev, it's a holiday. So He didn't give back one day, think 25 Kislev. He gave back 2,000 years of Hanukkah. That's the interest payment. So Kislev actually made out good. If Kislev would have gotten in the Midbar, he would have had a nice day, inauguration day, Hazak Baruch. But because God said, don't worry, you'll be compensated. Look at the compensation. Hashmonaim came into the Beit Mikdash on 25 Kislev, and every year since then, when the 25 of Kislev comes, we're still celebrating. On this, the Midrash says, on the pasuk. Magadelu ma'asecha Adonai, meod amikum machshevotecha. On this concept, the Midrash writes, God's thinking is so deep. God's wisdom is so penetrating. Meod amikum machshevotecha. Look what God did. He said, what's going to happen after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed? There's not going to be a way that I can express my love to the Jewish people. During the Beit HaMikdash, I was able to express my love with the menorah by keeping the lights lit. And then they're going to be sent into Galut, into 2,000 years of exile. That's when they're going to need an expression of God's love. When they're going to go through 2,000 years of darkness and 2,000 years of a persecuted history. I don't have to go through our history. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, the love that I expressed on that day of 25 Kislev in the Beit HaMikdash, I'm going to make sure that that becomes a holiday for the generations. And therefore when we come on Tuesday night and light the menorah, if you could hear the menorah talking, if you could hear the menorah expressing something, the menorah lit is God's way of coming down to our homes and saying to the inhabitants of the home, you're endeared to me, you're beloved to me, and therefore I want to give you a mitzvah that everybody should become like a Kohen Gadol that night. And everybody's home becomes like the Beit HaMikdash. And God comes down in the image of those lights. Of course, He has no image. But that's the message of the lights. Hanerot alalu kodeshem. They're holy. They're sanctified. Ve'enanu rishut lishtamesh. We cannot benefit from them because the light of the Shekhinah is in these candles. These lights are not simple lights of a birthday candle. Chas v'shalom navdil. These lights over here are actually God's way of coming down to us. And therefore I say, at the moment of that expression of love, at that moment is a time of tefillah, is a time of prayer. At the time that the hatan tells the kala, I love you. So the kala says, now's a good time to ask, could you buy me this? Could you get me this? At the moment where Kadosh Baruch Hu comes down and the candles are lit, you make tefillot to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem gives gifts on Hanukkah. That's probably why they got the custom to give gifts on Hanukkah. We're giving gifts because we want to create an activation that God should give us gifts. And the gifts are given at the time of the Nerot. So you shouldn't light the menorah and run away. Vayibrach Yaakov, you run away somewhere. No, you light the menorah and you sit by the menorah and you benefit from the light. And you look at the light, and you pray by the light, you make tefillah for your children by the light. It's a very holy moment. It's only a half hour every night, and it's only 8 days a year, so the whole thing is 4 hours. The candles are lit only 4 hours a year, and those 4 hours are very, very significant hours during the course of the year, which means after 31 minutes, that's it. The lights do not have this significance anymore. It's the first 30 minutes. They have to start the clock. Once they're lit, you start the stopwatch. From 0 to 30 minutes. But now you understand why. Because just like the lights in the Beit HaMikdash, Ulcha asit Hashem gadol v'kadosh be'olamach, that just like in the times of the Midbar, Borei Olam publicized His name in such a way by inaugurating the Mishkan with the menorah, many years later, you would bring a salvation to the Hashmonaim. On the 25th day, like that day that they wanted to do it. But that day continues to perpetuate with all its powers. Now I ask you, after all this, isn't it worthy to have a Se'udah? Isn't it worthy to sit down with your family at the Shulchan, and to commemorate the love? We're making a banquet for God on Hanukkah. Whereas on Purim, we're making a banquet for ourselves. Hanukkah, the banquet is for God. We're making the banquet for the one that came down into His garden. Bati legani ahoti kala. God says, I came down to the garden, my bride. It's a garden wedding. And therefore, the hag has that that essence. My prayers to our great group over here that comes week in and week out. Your attendance is even better than mine at certain times. I bless you that the great lights of Hanukkah, that are lights of redemption and salvation, should bring also to all of you Yeshuot and Purkan, Kehayom Azeh, especially on the first night. Now the first night to me is very, very exciting. It's an old holiday. Hanukkah is an old holiday. Put it this way, it's an old potential holiday that was supposed to be, and now we're finally able to celebrate it into reality. May Borei Olam give you all gifts, and Be'azat Hashem, the gifts that will be things that are only God knows what we need, but should you receive them in good health and prosperity. Amen. Ken Yirasu.